Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's What to Look For episode for preseason game two against the Cardinals. Obviously, we learned some things about the second and third team players primarily in that first preseason game. We hope to learn more in the second. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And joining me to do that, of course, is co-host Frazier Tafar. Frazier, how you doing?
Hey, Ken. Doing well. Glad to be back after a little shaky start to the preseason last week and looking for a better bounce back from the team week two against the Falcons.
Yeah, didn't look really good. It is the Falcons. Did I say Cardinals earlier? Anyway, Falcons.
All good.
But in any case, we'll start. Do you want to start offense or defense? Whatever it is, bring up your first point.
Let's go defense first. And we'll start off right with the meat and bone of what was going on last week. Can the defensive line have better point of attack defense when stopping the run? I think last week we saw some of our key players get pushed back on double teams and just getting not really gashed because they weren't giving up a lot of average per yard runs, but just consistent runs were a problem last week. So just trying to see if we can fill up those gaps and try and stay maintained in our gap scheme.
Yeah, a lot of problems against the run in terms of consistency of that Eagles offense. Was one of the highlights of my article this last week. So if you look at 3.8 yards per carry, you think, oh, good, we should win that game. And then you see they had a long of 9 yards, which is also good. So they eliminated the long plays, which was something. That means you have some good tackling on the second and third level. So that's a positive. They only allowed a long pass play of 11 yards. That defensive line tremendously overworked. And more than anything, they got lots of 1 and 2 versus 3 matchups. So the big five retired very early, and two of them didn't play. The best two, frankly, two of the best three in terms of Pierce and Madubuike didn't see action. I think my guess would be Pierce will see at most a few snaps the entire preseason. Jackson is probably not going to play, I would guess, in any of the three games. So the Ravens will have some uphill struggles in terms of how to win, but on defense, they need to have enough healthy bodies. I had one that was kind of similar, so I'll throw it in right here, is that they just need more available bodies at outside linebacker. Last week, they had Joe Evans play 68 snaps, which is absurd. But he was really the only outside linebacker left other than Tavius Robinson, who they really did not want to overwork. Mm-hmm. And even so, he had 37 snaps.
Yep. And this is where the loss of Malik Ham really hurts the team because he was the one that was going to take the massive load of those snaps. And it's a shame because he would have got a lot of developmental time. And now he's lost out on that. And we're kind of struggling at the position without Adisa Isaac and Ojabo being available. And hopefully we're able to get them back.
They're important. And Adisa Isaac is at least practicing. I don't know if he's going to play. I actually kind of doubt it. Mm-hmm. But he was playing 11 on 11s. You got to be pretty close to practicing. Ojabo has been playing harder. He was somehow held out for doctors. And I have no freaking idea how you can play padded practices for multiple days on end. On 11 on 11, you're not held back from any drills, but you can't play in a game. I have no idea what sort of a landing strip of activity allows you to do one but not the other. But for whatever reason, he was held out of the game and not medically cleared for it. Another case was they had Quincy Roche signed, and he's got some sort of little nagging injury that kept him out. He's been cut since. But, he was another guy who could have relieved them of a lot of snaps, even with Ham's absence. They don't have that extra body. And they didn't, by the way, they didn't go out and sign that extra body this week, which is an indication to me that those guys are probably ready to go, that Isaac and Ojabo should see some real playing time this week.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I think in terms of Ojabo being held back last week, it could be them wanting to keep him in a controlled environment until he's 100% ready, because when you go into a game, you really never know what's going to happen. Obviously, football is football, but when you're in practice, you're not really going live. So I guess trying to see if he can continue to get progressed, because this is a big year for him. If he doesn't perform this year, there's no real future on for him than his team. So
I'll just say this about Ajabo. He's been getting his ass kicked by Kadir Ishmael in practice, being blocked by him regularly. He's being blocked by other people too. And he did have a couple sacks today, so he looked pretty better, including one where he knocked the football out of the quarterback's hand. But honestly, he has not really looked like he's been standing up well to good blocking, even from tight ends.
Yeah, his run defense is the number one issue with his game. He thinks it's still college, and you pin your ears back and go to quarterback every single play. But no, he had to be base, and that's something Odafe had to learn, because he was not really on that same track as Ojabo, but he got better at dissecting before making his move, and he's still quick with it. So I think if Ojabo can get to that place, I think we'd be okay.
All right, so you've got a second one on defense as well, right?
Yep, continuing to be in a linebacker room. I think the main thing I'm looking for is Simpson to be less of a guess and shoot guy and continue to make the correct read instead of relying on his athleticism. Because last week it seemed like he was more so making the play after the fact he missed the hole and ran back to get the ball carrier. And that was a big part in us not being able to stop the run efficiently. And I'm looking for him to take the lead and bring Ross under his wing as well, in a sense of direction on dissecting plays and being in the right spot at the right time.
Definitely not Roquan as far as being a leading Mike that the will follows exceptionally well. And that's something, he's been a tough guy in camp, just beating people up. He's being more physical than just about anyone else on the field. In fact, to the point where they really have to talk to him about it. But he's in this game, he had 11 tackles. That's the good news. The bad news is that only three of them were defensive wins.
Yep.
And that's not a good thing. I mean, he's tackling off ball, as you mentioned. My perception of the situation was he wasn't real great with his initial reads, meaning he wasn't flowing to the ball as well as he should have been. And there were other problems in front of him, so it's not exclusively his fault. But,
right.
And then your fits behind that, are in large part, dependent on where he goes. And it's not dependent in terms of what he has to do. It's dependent in terms of what that will linebacker sees him doing and, what clues other Ravens wills, including him, can get from a player like Roquan leading us to Mike.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I think he's almost there in the sense of, I can't wait to see him when he has Roquan next to him, just to see how fast he plays in the will position, because it's going to be interesting to see if he has the freedom just to shoot like he's doing now. And he has an all pro being able to cover his ass. So I think right now is, can we see him get to that point and can give us hope in the future that he can take over that position at Mike?
Yeah. I don't ever see that happening. I really, and it's not a matter of he's not tall enough. He's small. He's much more of a speed player. He's more of a, I hope, improved version of Patrick Queen, who could do more in coverage and still give you some of the pass rush and tackling. Hopefully, a little more efficient tackler than Queen was. Hopefully, a little more efficient cover guy. I'll take a little bit of a hit to his ability to get sacks if he could do those two things a little better. Anyway, I think there is still hope that, he's a little more mature player than Queen was going into his second year. I think he's a year older for starters, but he seems to be further along than Queen was at this point.
Yep. Makes perfect sense.
All right. Let me toss out my second one for the defense. I want to see a outside corner, and the Ravens have so many slot corners, they almost don't know what to do with them right now. But I want to see a outside corner step up. And honestly, at this point, I'm fairly agnostic to who that could be. Now, they have a couple guys who have missed some time in camp. Arthur Millett has missed time, and Wiggins and Christian Matthew are both out, and presumably neither of them will play in this game. Christian Matthew hasn't practiced this week so far, so I assume he's out for the game. Even if he was able to, he's like last on the cornerback depth chart, so I wouldn't really be too concerned about it. That doesn't leave too many guys to play on the outside. We might see Bump Cooper there instead of in the slot. Trayvon Mullen and TJ Tampa are not back yet, but they started today to work on positional drills.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah, yep.
I don't think either of them is going to make it back for the game on Sunday. So basically, this game is probably the most important game to date of JAD's career.
Yeah,
he's going to have a chance against the Falcons offense and some quarterbacks who can sling it. You know, they drafted 87 guys. They have a bunch of quarterbacks anyway, including the last guy in might be Penix.
Yeah.
That's a reasonable challenge for him. He had a pass interference play in his first game. There is so much crap floating around the coverage of camp in terms of how well JAD's played. People are willing to basically repeat whatever the coaches say about how well he's played. And he's made a couple of plays. Don't get me wrong. I see a guy who still cannot find the football in the air. I think this is awfully important. He's only this last week was only the second preseason game he's ever been able to post for. So if he plays this week, you know, I think it's one of the most important games of his career in terms of really showing at least some qualities that would make him be the number four outside corner on this team. And he's no higher than that, because he's going to be behind at least the big three, including Wiggins, and he might be behind players like Tampa and Mullen, depending on how quickly they can get by.
Yeah, and I think it's hard for him to get to that next level, because I remember one rep on Friday, right, the game?
Friday, yeah.
I remember one rep he had. It was early in the first quarter, and the receiver completely crossed his face on the goal line, and he got the first down off that. And it was just depressing to see that. And then he had the holding on the later down that drive. So I just want to see him continue to be less handsy and trust his athletic ability. Because at this point, I think it's confidence for him, because he has the tools, but he's just not diagnosing it the way he should. I mean, he's from the Alabama system. He's come under Saban. I mean, they should be coached well. So for him not to flourish in a very well-coached team environment, I don't know what's next for him.
Brandon Stevens has some of this in terms of a lack of ability to find the football. I still see him making most of his PDs by reacting to the hands of the receiver. Honestly, I kind of think JAD often gets lost, not being able to find the football, but also not being able to find the hands of the receiver. And he tries to cover simply by being able to stick with a guy in phase down the field. And that's just not enough. I mean, you typically that's going to lead to you overrunning plays when your receiver adjusts to the ball and you're a tick late doing it.
Or you're just a cornerback that's just there to tackle him as soon as he catches the ball, which is not something you want either.
No.
So,
all right, let's move over to the offensive side. So we got all the defensive ones, right? Yeah. That was my second. Yeah.
So the main thing I want to see from the offense is, can we get a better flow in the game, in the pass catching game, mainly at receiver and tight end. I think we saw a lot of running backs get catches out of the backfield last week. Ali had that big drop, which was really bad to see, but I think, that is really dependent on the quarterbacks and the offensive line. But in terms of our receivers getting opportunity, I do want to see Dayton Wade continue to get the ball, and also see if Kadir Ismail can get incorporated into the offense at least. I know they wanted to target him at least one time, and it was a defensive holding. So that was kind of bad to see, but I do want to continue to see if we can find a big receiver that can make a difference in the game. Kind of like, was that one receiver with the dreads? I think it was last year.
Okay, wait a minute. And he was a Ravens guy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
During the preseason only, you're talking about, right?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, it'd be easier if I had a roster around. Let me talk about the other thing, and maybe you'll think of it look at a roster from last year and you'll grab it.
Gotcha.
You mentioned the two other things you'd have to get better with it. Obviously, the offensive line protection was very shaky this last week. And, you know, part of it was because the offensive line backing was genuinely bad, and they were allowing the cone to be regularly impeded for both Johnson and Leary. But then the ATS opportunities that did arise, both quarterbacks found a way to throw them away. And in Johnson's case, it was running from a clean pocket. He ended two drives doing exactly that, one with an S0. So that still actually counts as his only ATS opportunity of the first half. And the other one, he ran for a two-yard gain from the five-yard line on third and goal from the five. Just an absolutely ridiculous way to end a drive. You got to hang in there, throw the ball. If you take the sack, it's still 3 points. I don't care if you get sacked for 20 yards. It's probably still 3 points. It's not a situation where you allow yourself to be caught past the line of scrimmage. And it was a really bad decision to run. There were lots of good opportunities to throw that could have arisen from that if he'd been patient about it. In Leary's case, it was different because he got ATS opportunities. One was very well manufactured. It was a zone block right, naked boot left, which is the opposite way from the way boots are typically run within the Ravens system. Most of them are run with the quarterback booting to the right as the zone blocking fake goes to the left. Particularly, obviously, with quarterbacks who are fairly immobile, and that fits Devin Leary, pocket passer. The edge defender on that side, who's the guy who has to recognize what's happening, is often fooled by the play. Completely fooled in this case. He had tons of space, and yet instead of reading 3-2-1, longest to shortest, for the passing opportunities on that side, he threw the ball immediately to Dayton Wade, who was a yard behind the line of scrimmage, three Eagles bearing down on him, and got no yards after the catch. So it just terrible opportunity. There's another that I think it was an incomplete pass, but it might have been completed for a short gain where Leary had ATS and choked it up with a short gain as well. And even when he was completing the ball, they're ridiculously short passes. He had five passes on the 15 play drive that they finally got in the end zone on. The 10 runs, but five passes. He had six net air yards on those passes, 1.2 yards per throw. And his A dot for the entire game was 1.4. So, you know, I asked Monken about this, is, you know, what happened in terms of the deep shots? What hit excuse after excuse? Well, first of all, they were three and out three times. And, you know, the long passes didn't develop. Well, you know, what about that first boot? You know, did he read that field correctly? Because it sure looks like he read 1-2-3 to me and not 3-2-1.
Yeah.
And
I think the reason why he probably did read 1-2-3 is because he saw the pressure bearing down on him, and it just made him make his mechanics go faster, which isn't a good thing because he has to read that there's probably someone open on the second level if everyone's crashing to the underneath guy. So really not good to see that. I do want to see if Emory Jones can make more of a noise in the fourth quarter. I'm hoping the Ravens can give him an opportunity because last week was really bad for him. That's kind of a really effed up position to put someone in. So just seeing if he can make a difference either with his legs or with his arm and just maybe give this quarterback room a spark.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. You know, if he were to play a little bit in the fourth quarter, I don't have a problem with it. Not really, but it is kind of mean to put him on the field with 16 seconds left. And in so doing it, just go ahead and have him kneel under those circumstances. But it's very much mirrors like a backup quarterback. Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and watch or tap. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Their opportunity they get in camp, by the way, to have Emory Jones come up and have one thing. Is it almost exactly what happens in a 10 minute session usually of 11 on 11 where the first string quarterback gets his four plays and then the second string quarterback gets three plays and then the third string quarterback might get two plays and then they get the fourth string quarterback on and he's just about to run a play and he's really hoping they're running quickly because if they're not, they'll blow the whistle and the next drill is on. Wow. So it sucks to be the number four quarterback in preseason. Your only real opportunity throw comes in those one-on-one receiver sessions where they rotate through the quarterbacks and some of the other individual one-on-zero receiving drills, say. But it doesn't really come in the game. And I don't really expect him to get any meaningful playing time, but maybe it would be nice if he had two series just to be able to wash that single piece of tape off his career record, which is if that's all he has to show his grandkids, it's kind of sad.
Do you think Josh Johnson will only play the first quarter, or do you think it would be through the whole half?
So no Lamar for sure. And Harbaugh actually said it today. I think Johnson playing a half would be the bet I would make again. And I think they want to see time out of Leary. It could be that Leary comes in at some point in the second quarter. If that happens, then it could be quarter and a half, and even a quarter for Emory Jones. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it bears down. I mean, they spent a draft pick on Leary. I think they really want to find out what they have. In case of Johnson, he's just a Band-Aid in terms of what they have now. They don't really have another option, by the way, but he looks like the only guy who could possibly be the backup quarterback at present. But they haven't really tried to figure it out with Leary and try to fix what's wrong. Leary just is not – if he's as fearful of interceptions as he was in that week, which is all I can read into what's going on, I just don't see any way he can make the team. I mean, he came in here as this guy who's, is a gunslinger, throws interceptions, tries to make throws at a tight windows down the field. He was unwilling to do it.
Yeah, and I feel like the offensive line plays a lot in that because, I mean, when you don't feel like you have a good pocket to step into, you can't just make the decisions you expect to. Right. I think one way we can get the offense going is with the running backs and mainly looking at Collier and Owen, right, to take a next step and to get more carries. Owen Wright looked good, especially in the first drive. I mean, they featured him for a little bit, and he looked like he had burst. Collier didn't have the blocking, but he made it work for himself, and he made it some tough runs. Ali got the goal line opportunities, and he didn't follow his blocks. He went the opposite way of the way it was drawn up. I visibly remember one where it was a right-hand power, left guard pulling to the right, and he went left. And you just can't do that in the National Football League if you want to be on a team. So just wanting to see him to stick to his assignment and trust your instinct on the cutback rather than just trying to make a play on the goal line. Just show that you're dependable in these situations.
Yeah, most of those cutbacks, your opportunity is not necessarily a cutback on a power run. You might be, a bounce might be your best opportunity to continue to go to the outside because you're blocking people in that direction. With the zone blocking, you typically find a cutback lane. That's the whole goal of a zone blocking play. But you're right. I mean, he didn't do a good job with that, and he was bad in every area of the game. None of them can block to save their lives. Yeah. Ali, dropped one pass, caught another for 4 yards. That's not going to get it done. He fumbled a kickoff. The ground caused the fumble, admittedly, so it's not an actual turnover, but it didn't look good. Yep. For special teams purposes. And of course he ran the ball 10 times for 26 yards with a long of 5. So yeah, there were problems on the offensive line. And I think there's a lot of problems in Ali's. I would call his style kind of patient, and maybe the style, I thought when Collier came in particular, he very much demonstrated that the best style with the Ravens offensive line and the Eagles front in this game was probably to be less patient and just stick your head in wherever you needed to.
Yep, exactly. And was he the one the Ali talking about that had the pass pro where he cut the linebacker, but the linebacker just popped right back up, and I think he might have affected the throw.
You know, I'm not sure which one that was. I know the play you're talking about. I'm going to try and find it in my notes right now for the defense. But it was everybody that played running back for the Ravens in that game had bad pass blocking reps. So it's not like I'm going to be able to only, you know, point out to, that you can only point to Ali in this game. Let me see what I'm saying here. Okay, it would be in my regular notes. I'm not going to have a good easy way to find it. It's not on the pass blocking notes that I kept. Oh no, here we go. I think it might be the quarterback to hit that allowed on the play that was called for defensive holding, so it was wiped out.
Oh, that was
and that's Owen Wright actually making that block on N'Kobe Dean, and he blocked him, and then he got up and got the quarterback hit. But it didn't. It didn't end up being a scored play because of a defensive hold, but it was clearly a bad play, not only there, but I thought also by Voorhees on the play, who ignored the A gap to help Jones.
Yeah.
Tough night all the way around. And obviously, when the offensive line hasn't really been together for very long, and you've got Cleveland at center, who I don't really blame for the continuity issues because I thought he played pretty well personally.
Yeah.
And I thought Falele, he looks terrible out there, but the results were not awful. I mean, he just looks terrible, but the results were not awful. And Voorhees, he looked okay as a run blocker. I think pretty good, in fact, as a run blocker, I would say. He just was unbelievably bad in terms of his anchor in this game. And anytime, for any position, doesn't matter whether you're a center guard or tackle, pass blocking is your first responsibility in the NFL. You've got to be good at that, and that's where the very severe game-losing errors occur. You can cost your team very severely with a holding penalty too on a run play. It is true, but most of the time it's sacks, quarterback hits, and turnovers that accrue from bad pass blocking are what really cost teams in the NFL now. And you can't have that. Your left guard has to be able to pass block.
Yeah, and the main thing with Falele is that it wasn't a lot, but there was a couple times he got close to spinning like a top, and that's not what we need in the inside. It's better not him being on the outside because he was doing that on the outside as well. But I think when he did get his hands on the defender, he was able to control and keep engaging with him, and that was impressive to see. First play of the game they ran was a power with him pulling to the left. He pretty much just tackled the guy, but he got the block, but it was okay.
Oh, the power on that. I had him for missing that pull. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, it didn't look good.
Yeah.
I feel like he did get a piece of him though.
Yeah, he definitely did. And I looked at it a few times before it decided to score it, but he was so far off center of the guy in terms of trying to do it. And then he kind of bear hugged him from behind, I thought, on the play to get it. There was another play later in the game. And I think it was on the Collier run. That was the big conversion on the 15 play drive. He got into level two, and I thought the play was going to be wiped out because he basically bear-hugged and then dragged another guy out of bounds. Mm. And the fortunate thing about it was he was so slow making his move into level two that didn't really cost the team because the play had already been blown dead.
Wow.
So there was no flag on it, but watch that play. Watch the Collier run. Watch what he does going into level two, and it did not look good.
I'll check that out. And then Voorhees looked good as well. Just I think his, like you said, his anchor. It's not good to see them get pushed back. I think Falele gets pushed back because he's trying to play patty cake with a defender, and Voorhees is getting pushed back because it's just his anchor is just not there.
Yeah, which is a shame because he's a very strong player. That probably will help him in terms of torquing defenders. If they want to open the hole on that side and pivot left instead of right, then you have the other problem of Falele becomes your primary puller if you want to play him at right guard. It's interesting about this whole situation with having Linderbaum out, and he missed practice again today, by the way. He's missed pretty close to 2 weeks now. He's missed.
Not good.
But yeah, no, it's not good, and they desperately need him back. But it's allowed the Ravens to kick the can down the road in terms of the decision at right guard because, oh, no, we need Cleveland at center. You know, we can do with Falele at right guard. We were interested in developing him. And, you know, I hope the offensive line coach who's going to come in to replace Joe D, he was already there today, Warhop, will be more ruthless about the decision and just say, you know, hey, I know Joe liked this guy, but we can't stick with him. We have to move on. And Cleveland is the guy, and we need to have him there and use somebody else at center in this next preseason game. I would love to see that happen.
I think that would be a tough ask of someone just taking over as interim.
Yes.
Especially in the Ravens organization, because, you know, once you're in an organization, you're going to be wired a certain way anyway. So they're going to want to do it a certain way. Go ahead.
And it'll have to be coming from somebody higher up. It'll have to basically have to be coming from Harbaugh or Monken are the only two people who could. And probably it even has to be Monken with Harbaugh's tacit approval at a minimum saying, mm-hmm. look, we have to make a change there. And Joe liked him more than we like him, but we need to make a change.
And also a lot of people gave very much love to Jones at left tackle this past game.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't terrible, but he definitely had a lot of negative events. I didn't give him a score for the thing, and I really should have because he played enough snaps. He was in there for 29 scored snaps. I had him for a max of 21 points of those 29 he could have scored, which is not that would be fine if he did that. He'd be, you know, a solid C effort, and there wouldn't be any problem with it. But my guess is he probably wasn't. He didn't convert all of those, that there were some other missed blocks that I didn't just pick up in the regular course of taking notes on offense, as opposed to doing a block by block offensive line scoring. There's just too much risk there. I think, first of all, I think it's good that Jones is only playing tackle. First of all, limit the possible responsibilities he can have. And second of all, he is definitely a backup under those circumstances and isn't a possible replacement for a player like Voorhees. So honestly, if Voorhees has another game this bad, everything is on the table. Wow. for what, I mean, I'll just say that his anchor, it has to improve. We have to prove this an aberration. Now, let me just say it's only 30 snaps, really only half a game. Mm-hmm. And guys have, it's not infrequent for a tackle in particular, less probably common for a guard to have a game as bad as he had over 30 snaps in a season and still be pretty good. Like Kevin Zeitler had some D games at the beginning of last year where he wasn't good. And Marshall Yonde almost never had a game this bad, basically in the last 5 years of his career or so, I'll say. But there's been other guards who have. And you know, it John Simpson or somebody like that. Actually, Simpson was very consistent. He always got Ds. He didn't really have any fall off the table games like this. This was bad. I mean, he's about 21 points away from a passing grade at guard. And that's awfully far. I'm one of the really big Voorhees supporters in terms of it would be huge for the organization if he could be the player they need him to be.
Yeah.
Because he's a first year guy. It just, you know, they'd have 4 years of their guard problem being solved on that side. And he doesn't have to be great. He just has to be okay. He just has to be able to play basically at a C level. And, you know, we should have the same kind of growth expectations maybe that we had of Tyler Linderbaum, or not much short of it anyway, if he can play as a C as a rookie. But I'm very concerned with this first effort and where he goes in the second game.
So with that being said, do you think Tayshaun Manning has wrapped up the right guard backup spot?
Somebody asked me today, four questions. I think this is coming out in the Baltimore Banner, or should be a good article when it does come out. They wanted to have my dark horse roster pick, and it's Tayshaun Manning is mine. I think he's a guy. I think he'll make it ahead of Salah. And then you've got some other choices to make between players like Samak and him, or Dalcourt and him. But Manning is a guy I think probably offers them the most at guard. And he might even be a guy who you say in this next preseason game, give him a few snaps at center, see if he can be the rotational guy or the backup, get you through a game guy. They've got Darian Dalcourt is ahead of Samak on the depth chart, and he is a player who can play center and guard. Samak, they've tried a little bit at guard in this camp, but I think he's a pure center. He's just not got the right size to play. guard. Too small.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, basically trying to have a backup center on your 53 is like trying to carry three catchers on your 26 man roster in baseball. I think it's very difficult.
It's impossible. No way.
All right. So I think we basically went through all the things. The only thing I'll say is I want to see more of Roger Rosengarten. He only got about 18 snaps in this first game. He should play more. I think we will almost certainly see a lot more of Rosengarten in game two. Wouldn't be surprised me if he's playing most of the game, two thirds of the game, say, with just a little bit of McCary, because they don't really need to. They don't really know. They're happy with who McCary is. They know who he is. He's not going to surprise them in some way either. I don't think either negatively or positively.
Yeah.
So it'll be fine. And Rosengarten, they need to get him in the lineup ASAP to find out if he's the left tackle answer for 2025. Because otherwise, they're back to the drawing board on finding someone. And it could be very difficult for them. Look how difficult for them it was in a draft that had a ton of tackle talent. And now next year won't have as much, and they'll have to, you know, do what they can do to find a guy.
Yeah. And I think Roger had a good game last Friday. Obviously, same things with the issues seem to be identical between Voorhees and Rosengarten. It seems like they have issues anchoring in pass pro. They're decent in the run game. I think Rosengarten still continues to have the issue of just not having the sand in the pants to really have the move we need in the run game. But he's getting to the blocks. He's getting to his assignments. His pass pro does look good. I'll give him that. On his sets, he moves out, gets in front, mirrors well.
Feet look very good. I don't have any problem with that. And I don't think that's even been a problem in camp. It's all been about anchor and how he's a very lean build, particularly for the NFL. He's lean build for college, but he's very lean build for the NFL.
Yeah. So I'm just looking to continue to build off his performance and seeing if maybe the Ravens try. I don't know if they're going to give help during the preseason, but seeing to what could work for Roger. And just playing with things.
Yeah. Well, should get plenty of playing time, and we'll see that. So I think that that takes us through that, because my better clarity on the offensive line, we kind of got to, I think, rolling out of your comments about the run game. Always appreciate doing this show with you, Frazier. Where can folks talk football with you online?
You guys can reach out to me on Twitter/X at F_Rave8. That's F_RAVE8.
All right. We look forward to doing this show again next week. Other folks out there, if you'd like to do a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. If you'd like to be a friend of the show and give us a short review, 5-star review, of course, we really appreciate it. Otherwise, if you're listening on YouTube, like and subscribe, or subscribe to the podcast. We always appreciate that. Tell a friend about the podcast if you really want to support the show in other ways. Thanks very much for listening. For Frazier Tabar, this is Ken McCusick, and we'll talk to you next week on What to Look For.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.